Father, we just come before you right now asking for your unction, your grace, your anointing, for grace deposits, divine impartations. I think of the scripture this morning where you said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. For some, Lord, I know that this will be planting time. For others, I know this will be watering time. But you are the one that causes us to flourish. You are the one that causes us to increase. For this, we are grateful and we give you all the glory and all the praise, for us in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead and be seated for a little bit. I want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We're theming the subject of flourish. Everyone say, I'm flourishing. Here's what Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all aboundeth each toward one another. Now, I love what the Holman translation says, so let's pull that translation up, if we would, and we see a little different wording, rather than faith groweth exceedingly. The Holman translation says, we must always thank God for you, brothers. This is right, since your faith is what?
Flourishing.
Hello?
Flourishing.
Since your faith is what? It is flourishing. And the love each one of you has for one another is increasing. So that's our subject this morning, flourishing faith. Now, in order for our faith to flourish, we need to know that we have faith. You know, Paul wrote into the church at Rome, in Romans 12:3 said this, for I say through the grace given unto me, that is among you, not to think of himself any more highly than he ought to think. But notice this last phrase, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So every born-again believer has the measure of mountain-moving faith.
Amen.
Now, what you do with that measure of faith is completely and totally up to you. It's like when we're born, we all are given a set of muscles. What we do with our muscles is up to us. We can strengthen them, or we can do nothing with them and remain weak. But God's plan and God's will for us is to take our faith muscle and develop them and cultivate them so that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So I don't want you to think for one moment that you don't have faith. You have faith. Now it's up to you to do something with it. It's like Roy Hicks said many years ago, faith, use it or lose it. I'd rather use it than lose it. How about you? So number one, we have faith. Number two, we need to understand why faith. Why is faith so important? You know, you could think of a lot of scriptures about why faith is so important. Number one, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. How many of you want to please God? Well, take your measure of faith, develop it, and cultivate it, and please God. Amen. Another reason, why for faith? The Bible says in Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. You have not lived until you've lived by faith. The just shall live by faith. Here's another reason why faith is so important. It is with the shield of faith that we quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Anybody ever had some flaming missiles come your way? Well, aren't you glad you got the shield of faith? And that shield of faith quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. Now, another reason why faith is the victory. In 1 John 5:4 it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So with your faith, you can overcome obstacles. With your faith, you can overcome roadblocks. With your faith, you can overcome the world. You can overcome the flesh. And you can walk in overcoming power over the devil. So you see now why faith is so important. Amen. And then another scripture we could think of right off the top of our hearts is this, 1 Timothy 6:12. It says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. and lay hold on eternal life. So it is with our faith that we fight. It is with our faith that we stand. And it isn't with our faith that we don't cave in. Thank God. Faith is important. So the next question then, what is faith? Well, I'm glad you asked. When we're talking about faith, we're not talking about denominational faith. Now, many of us grew up in a denomination. How many of you grew up in a denomination? And we are not preaching against denominations. Thank God for denominations, especially those who proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. We may not agree with every denomination, but one thing we can agree on is that Jesus died, Jesus rose, and Jesus is Lord over our lives. Amen. But we're not talking about denominational faith. We're talking about Bible faith. Bible faith. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, notice with me this scripture. This gives us a working definition of what faith is. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now that is a very loaded scripture. And really you could teach for weeks and weeks on that scripture alone. But for the sake of time, I want to break down a really very simple and easy definition of what faith is. Now Young's literal translation will help us to see this. In the Young's literal translation, it says, and faith is of things hoped for, a confidence of matters not seen, a conviction. Now, if you were to look into a concordance, and if you were to look up in the Greek what faith is, you would see these words. Faith is a persuasion. Faith is an assurance. Faith is trust. So faith, then, is being persuaded of something. How many know if you're persuaded of something, you're assured of something? Yes. And if you're assured of something, you can certainly trust something. But our persuasion and our assurance and our trust is not in something, but our persuasion and our trust and our assurance is in someone. It is in someone. Glory to God. Our faith is in God. Our faith is in His faithfulness. He is worthy of your trust today. He is completely reliable. And you know, He is not man. He's not like a man. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that He should lie. Neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Repent there means He doesn't change His mind. Glory to God. He's not like man. Now, if you put your faith in man, sometimes your faith can be misplaced. Because sometimes man, he can be trusted, and other times he can't be trusted. But oh, thank God, our God is not a man. He is not a liar. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's impossible for Him to lie. It's impossible for Him to fail. Glory to God. He does not change His mind. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? And hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Has anyone ever seen the Lord make good on His word in their lives? Has anybody got a testimony of the goodness of God? Can anybody shout today, God is good, and God is good all the time. His goodness is following me all the days of my life. Woo, glory to God. Testify to the goodness of God. Shout about the goodness of God. Dance about the goodness of God. Sing about the goodness of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we trust Him. Like we sang today, we trust Him. If He said it, you can trust Him. He's your dad. You are His child. So faith then is being assured. Faith is being persuaded. Faith is trusting in Him. We see an ultimate example of faith in our father of faith, Abraham. You know, the Bible talks about that we can follow his steps. And if we'll walk in the steps that Abraham walked in, we'll get the same kind of results that Abraham got. No, I'm not talking about, you know, having a child at 90 or 100. But I'm talking about giving birth to the promises of God. Giving birth to your healing. Amen. Giving birth to your abundance. So don't worry, sweetheart. I don't have any ideas like that. I do have other ideas, though. But anyway. So we can walk in his steps. We can get the same kind of results that Abraham got. If ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. And you are an heir according to the promise. So let's notice what Abraham did in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, that's you. Not to that only which is of the law, but also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. This is God giving Abram a promise. Before him whom he believed, even God, who calleth those things which be not as though they were. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 18. Who against hope, when all natural hope was gone, Abraham put his faith in the promises of God. He trusted in him and he had an expectation of godly hope. Who against hope believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations, according, now notice, to that which was spoken. So Abraham was not going off on what he thought. Abraham was following according to what God had said to him. Amen? And if you do the same thing, you will be safe. Amen. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now notice these next couple of verses. Would you read it with me, please? Ready, read. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in what? He was strong in faith. He was strong in assurance. He was strong in conviction. He was strong in faith. And because he was strong in faith, he gave glory to God. And you can do the same thing. You can give glory to God before that birth takes place. You can give glory to God before the doctor says you're healed. You've already got a doctor. He already said that you are healed. You can shout while the walls are still up. Amen. Be strong in faith. Be strong in trust. Be strong in assurance. And give glory to God. Now let's read the next verse. Glory to God. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. This is the very definition of faith. Faith is being fully persuaded. He didn't say he was partially persuaded. He said he was fully persuaded. If we are only partially persuaded, there's room for wavering. And that's why it's so important that if our faith is going to flourish, we need to be fully persuaded. We must be fully persuaded concerning God's will in the matters of our life. Just for example, we need to be fully persuaded of the fact that it is in fact God's will to heal you. We need to be fully persuaded in the fact that it is God's will for you to have abundance. For you not to have lack in your life. We need to be fully persuaded that it is the plan of God, the will of God, for us to walk in and live in the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Faith-filled, fear-free, living in the joy of the Lord. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Another way we could say it is this. Faith begins where the Word of God is known. That's why it's vital for us to know the Word. It's wonderful that Brenda and PT and Pastor Nancy and all of us preach the word to you, and it's always good and it's always wonderful, but it's so important for you to take this word as a word to you from God to you and apply it to your life. Amen. Knowing the will of God. Now you can be fully persuaded just like Abraham. Just like Abraham. You can become fully persuaded. And in order for this to happen, for us to be fully persuaded and our faith to flourish, there's two things we need to know. Number one, we need to know God. We need to know Him. Not just about Him. Not just what we've heard about Him, but what we know about Him for ourselves. And Paul dealt with this in writing to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Notice these words. 2 Timothy 1:12. He says, "For this cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day." Certainly, Paul knew what he believed, but he put the emphasis here, I know Him. I know Him. Now, another translation says it this way, "For I know the one in whom I trust." The Passion says it like this, "I have an intimate relationship of this God, and my faith in Him convinces me." In other words, I'm persuaded that He is more than able. Everyone say He's more than able. He's more than able to keep all that I have placed in His hands safe. Amen. Paul said it this way, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You will experience the power of His resurrection in your heart, in your mind, in your body, in your relationships, in every area of life, when you get to know Him more intimately and you become acquainted with the wonders of His person. Woo, think about the wonders of His person, His character. Just think of some of His names. El Shaddai, the God is more than enough. El Elyon, the Most High God. Think about the fact that God is love. When you get a revelation of how much God loves you, you will experience the power of His resurrection. I'm telling you, your God is able to do the exceeding abundantly above all that you can dare ask or think, infinitely beyond your highest hopes or dreams, according to the revelation of His person on the inside of you. Amen. All the wonders of His person. Whew. The psalmist said it this way, "Be still and know that I am God." Take the time to become acquainted with Him. I believe it's Job chapter 22 and verse 21. I think they'll pull it up there. Notice what it says. It says, "Acquaint now thyself with Him. And be at peace." Be at peace. See, grace and peace will be multiplied to you through the knowledge of Him. Through knowing Him. Get acquainted with Him. Spend time with Him. Let Him talk to you. Someone says, "Well, I'm talking to the Lord. I'm talking to the Lord." That part might be part of the problem. You need to be still and know that He is God. Amen? "Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace." The word peace there is shalom. Be in a place of nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. It comes through fellowship. It comes through acquaintance. "Acquaint now yourself with Him and be at peace." And read the rest with me. "Thereby good shall come unto thee." Another translation says, "Prosperity shall come unto you." You will not have to make prosperity come to you. Prosperity will come to you based on your acquaintance, based on your fellowship, based on your revelation of God. Amen? You will not have to run after the blessings. The blessings of God will run after you. Amen? You will not have to try to overtake the blessings. No, you just walk in revelation knowledge. You walk in the Word of God, and the blessings of the Lord shall overtake you. The blessings of the Lord shall come upon you. The favor of God shall surround you, and something great will happen to you every day of your life. He said, acquaint now yourself with Him. Be at peace, and therefore good and prosperity shall come unto thee. Amen. Some of the most prosperous people that I know are some of the most humble people I know. They've humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. And as a result of their humility, God has exalted them, and God has met their every need beyond what they could ask or think. Amen. So number one, know God. Number two, know His promises. Know His promises. Everyone say, know God. Know His Word. So God and His Word, they are one, are they not? Amen. Know Him, know His Word. Take time to meditate in the Word daily. It's part of cultivating your faith muscle. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, not by having heard. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we can become fully persuaded. I love that, don't you? Our faith can flourish just like Abraham. Think about it. Abraham was the friend of God. God trusted Abraham. Amen. That He could pour out His blessings on him and through him. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. When you're fully persuaded, here's what you can do. You can absolutely refuse to waver at circumstances that come your way. Abraham considered not. Abraham staggered not. And a key to this is found in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. Amen. Are you still here? Yes. Don't go home now. It's just now getting really, really good. Amen. A refusal to waver at circumstances. And all of you know that circumstances come to each and every one of us. You may be facing some circumstances right now. But every day, you and I have the choice of 2 Corinthians 5:7. Notice this with me. He said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's say that again. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what we're assured of. We walk what we're fully persuaded by. So every morning when you wake up, every morning when I wake up, I have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:7 describes two ways of living. Two opposite ways of living. One is we walk by faith. We walk by the Word. We don't walk by what we see. Amen. We don't live by, we don't regulate our lives by the circumstances that come against us. Amen. No, we live, we regulate our lives by faith. Amen. And I want to be very clear about it. It's a choice that you make. No one makes this choice for you. This choice must be made every day, because there's going to be an everyday onslaught of the enemy. There's going to be an everyday barrage of imaginations coming from the evil one. And if you don't make the daily choice to walk by faith and not by sight, it will not be a good day. Amen. I like what Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose faith. Choose being fully persuaded. Choose the Word. Amen. So say it again with me real strong. I walk by. I walk by faith. and not by sight. Now, here's what happens, Jimmy, when we walk by faith. We can fulfill the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. When you're fully persuaded and you're flourishing, 2 Corinthians 4:18 becomes a reality in our lives. It says, while we look not, come on, at the things which are seen. If we're looking at the things which are seen or perceived by our five physical senses, if we're doing that, we are walking by sight. But Paul says, we walk not, we look not at those things which are seen. But we do look at something else. But at the things which are not seen. Now let me qualify this not seen. It may not be seen to your natural eye yet. But you see it down here. You see your healing down here. You see your children coming from afar down here. You see debt free down here. You're seen by the eye of faith. That's how you look at those things which have not yet manifested, but what you see and by what you know from the Word and by the picture you have on the inside. Woo! Glory to God. It's called vision. The ability to see. The ability to perceive. It may not look good so good out here, but it looks mighty good down on the inside. You got someone on the inside working on the outside. Say of me, the Word of God is painting a picture of my healing, of my abundance, of my success. Word of God on the inside. And it's working on the outside. Woo, glory to God. Woo, faith on the inside. Working on the outside. Healer on the inside. Working on the outside. Amen. Peace on the inside. It's working in my soul. It's working in my mind. So we don't look at the things which are seen. We're not going to live. We're not going to walk by sight. But we're going to live by the sight of a higher kind. Faith is not blind. Faith is a sight of a higher kind. It's in your spirit. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're subject to change. I said they're subject to change. What you're going through right now has an expiration date. It is subject to the Word of God. It is subject to what you have on the inside. It is subject to who you have on the inside. Yes, greater is He. Greater is He. Greater is the vision. Greater is He and what I see on the inside than he that's in the world. It's subject to change. It's subject to change.
Yeah, amen.
I've been through quite a bit. You've been through quite a bit. But you know, we're still up in church today.
That's right.
We're still breathing. Yay, everyone that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Can you praise Him because you're still breathing? Can you praise Him because you're still alive? Can you praise Him because you're still serving? Woo, glory to God. Can anybody in the house give God glory for what He's brought you through and what He's bringing you through today? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are subject to change, but the things which are not seen will never change. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am your God. My hand is upon you for good. So don't draw back and don't give up. Just keep on praising me. Keep on developing your faith. Keep on developing your persuasion. Keep on developing your assurance. Keep on developing your trust. And you will not lack. Amen. Woo, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so it's a fact we all face tests. And they are designed to pull us back from walking by faith. But the Word says, when the test comes, we're to rejoice. I'm fully convinced that most Christians don't rejoice enough. When the Bible says rejoice evermore, and we're only rejoicing from time to time, we need to repent. I know that's a little heavy, but it's true. He said in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, tests, and trials. Amen. I can't do that. You can't do that. Walking by sight. The only way that we can count it all joy and rejoice greatly, listen to this, is if we're not looking at what we are going through. Does that resonate with you today? But you're looking at someone else. You're looking at your healer. You're looking unto Jesus. Come on, somebody. If you're looking at something else and someone else, it trumps what you're going through. Remember what Job said in Job chapter 5? I think it's verse 22. It says there, at destruction and at famine, I will mourn. I tell you, Pastor Tom, it's been so tough. I don't know whether they're going to make it through Monday or not. No, at destruction and at famine, another way to say it, thou shalt rejoice. Thou shalt rejoice. You see, we cannot laugh or rejoice looking at the famine. Or looking at the lack. Because famine and lack, it's not funny. We cannot rejoice looking at what the doctor said. We cannot maintain our joy if we're looking at and thinking at and talking about all the things that have come against us. Why? Disease is not funny. How is it then that we can rejoice? We got any rejoicers here today? I said, we got any rejoicers here today? We can rejoice if we can see something that's unseen. And that's exactly what you quoted earlier. That's exactly what Jesus did. It's exactly what he did. He didn't come to this earth to play games. He didn't come to this earth because he had nothing else to do. He came to this earth for you. He came to this earth for me. He saw us in our dilemma. He saw us through the ages of time. He saw that we needed deliverance and we needed a Savior. And going to the cross was not easy. Going to the cross was very, very painful. But he took that pain and he took all of that grief. He took it for you and took it for me. And here's what Hebrews chapter 12. Are you ready to shout again? Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the what? Jesus, are you going to give your life for me? Yes, son. Yes, daughter. And I'm glad to do it. Amen. He was glad to do it. Yes, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah. Woo, glory to God. He looked down through the ages and he saw a bunch here at 24800 at Sperian Boulevard. He saw us praising God. He saw us dancing before the Lord. It was the joy. It was the joy that was set for him. It gave him great joy to do this for you. He said, I have come in the volume of the book, O God, to do thy will. He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. He did not do it for himself. He did it for us. Amen. Now listen to me as we close. There's no such a thing as flourishing faith and being strong in faith and being discouraged at the same time. If I'm believing I'm healed, and I believe that the money's coming in, what's there to be depressed about? But if you're just sitting looking at the bills, talking about the economy, talking about the government, talking about this and talking about... You will talk yourself right out of faith. And you will talk yourself right out of faith and right into doubt and unbelief. The natural economy is not something that we are subject to. This natural economy is subject to the economy of heaven. And if you will align your life with godly principles concerning giving and receiving, there will be no lack in your life. No matter what. In 2008, there was a recession. In 2020, there was a pandemic. Recessions and pandemics pass away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Glory to God. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Forever, O Lord! Your word is settled in heaven. You sent your word. I take it. I believe it here on earth. My heart and our hearts are established and fixed, trusting, being fully persuaded, being fully assured. Woo, glory to God. Trusting in the Lord. Amen. So you can't see your miracle looking at the bills. You got to see you bills paid before your bills are paid. You got to see it. And if you can see it, you can seize it. And if you can seize it, glory to God, you can have it. Don't see yourself dying young. Don't see yourself dying prematurely. Yeah, but my relatives had this, and they died of this, and they died of that. But thank God you're in a new family. You got a new DNA. The blood of Jesus flows through your veins. Woo! Glory to God. See yourself living long. See yourself living strong. The Bible says, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Though you haven't seen him, you rejoice. Though you haven't seen the master with these natural eyes, you still love him. Amen. You may not have seen certain things turn around yet, but Pastor Tom prophesied today, it's a day of turnaround. Pastor Brenda prophesied today, it's a day of breakthrough. Oh no, you may not have seen it here, but you've seen it down here. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God. Stand up, glory to God. Oh, raise your hands and thank him. Glory to God. That's enough for today. I think we should just thank God for it. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Luat, we're not going under, we're going over. We're overcomers. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We're not running out, we're running over. We're not being overcome, we're in the overflow. Somebody said, how can you do that at 74 and a half years old? Because the Holy Ghost is in me. The Holy Ghost is on me. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. He's on you. He's for you. He's not against you. Glory to God. Help me out. Hallelujah. Woohoo! Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout in this X theater, this place where we have refreshing, this place that is God ordained. Somebody shout in this house.